This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, if you would like to contact me, you can do so through my website, you can do so by regular mail, and you can re-listen to this program on the website. The website has other information you might find helpful, including a weekly meditation that I try to keep current and relevant. So if you would like the addresses, either my mailing address or my website address, you'll need to write that down when I give it at the close of the program. Now, this is our first program in the new year. We did a New Year's Eve program, but this is the first of the new year. And if you're like me and you're looking into the new year, of course, you wonder exactly what that year is going to contain for you, if it's going to be a good year or a bad year. And of course, scripturally, we're to take each day as it comes. I know that we need to plan ahead, we need to make plans and so forth, but basically we need to be thankful for the blessings we have day by day. And I'm thankful that we have a country where I can produce a radio program like this, and where the news that I give you is the actual news from the Bible. The Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I know that there are many people who preach from the Bible who use verses and sections out of context. I've tried never to do that to you. I've tried to be very careful in presenting to you the good news, the gospel of the Bible, the fact that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. We've tried to be faithful in explaining that you were not born Christians. We're born again to become Christians. And there's a time in our lives when we repent and believe. We may not remember the date, but we should remember the change of mind that occurred and the relief that we got when we found out that Christ had died for us. And I try to be faithful to that message. We hear so much today about fake news. And frankly, I don't know what's fake and what's real anymore. We know that all news is edited, and all news in some to some degree has the bias of the people that are presenting it. But there are some people who do try to present a balanced news program, and there are some people who do not present a balanced news program. And today I'm having trouble distinguishing between those two. But when I go to the Bible, I can honestly tell you I have good news, and it's not fake news. The Lord came the first time according to the scripture, and he died according to the scripture. He was buried, and he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures, that is, according to the Old Testament prophecies. And the Lord is coming again. We're not through with the Lord. Even though the world might seem like it's in a mess and like it's been wound up and let go to go its own way and to become basically something that is like it was in Noah's day, a day when the heart of man was only evil continually, a day when, according to Romans, God gave people up over to their vile imaginations, and he gave them up to their sinful passions. Even though we seem to live in a day like that, the Lord has set limits. And he is coming again. And folks, when he comes again, it's either going to be a coming of comfort, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It's going to be a coming of hope and anticipation for those who have trusted in the Lord and have had their sins forgiven. It's going to be a coming that is going to bring terrible judgments upon this world for those who reject the Lord. This world is not done with the Lord. And so the fake news that we hear today is difficult to dis- distinguish from the good news, but when we come to the Bible, there are those who are telling us it's fake news, but let me assure you in this new year that I've got the best news, the most reliable news, and news that is good news. It's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've been looking at 2 Peter 3, verse 18, which says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. And in order to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have to know something about him. And I've been going through Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled when the Lord came the first time. And just looking at the fulfillment of these prophecies makes it very evident that the Bible is the very Word of God, and that Christ is the very Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, that is, Christ expresses God. He's the message of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so as we begin to look at the Lord, and we begin to get an understanding of who he is, we understand that while he judges sinners who turn away from him, he has mercy and grace available to those who will trust him. He knows our nature. He knows our depravity. He loves us in spite of it, not because of it, but in spite of it. And he has provided a way whereby we can be with him throughout the endless ages of eternity, and that is certainly good news. But as we begin to look at the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the knowledge we need of him, and as we go through these prophecies, we can see that it would be mathematically impossible for all these prophecies that have been given by many different men over many different years to come true just in the coming of our Lord Jesus the first time. And if those prophecies have come true, then his prophecies with regard to his second coming will come true too. And I know that we live in a day when people are saying, where is the promise of his coming? As Peter reminds us in 2 Peter 3, where is the promise of his coming? But the Lord has promised he will come, and he will come. Good news for the Christian, not such good news for those who have rejected the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now we've come to a prophecy having to do with the Messiah being falsely accused. And I want to read the prophecy that is found in the Old Testament that is fulfilled in the New. In Psalm 35 and verse 11, we read, fierce witnesses rise up. They ask me things that I do not know. Now, this is, of course, the experience of David himself, but it seems also to be prophetic with regard to the experience of the Lord Jesus. The 12th verse says, they reward me evil for good, to the sorrow of my soul. But when we come to the New Testament in Mark 14, we read from verse 55 these words. Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none, for many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, we have heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But not even then did their testimony agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, do you answer nothing? What is it? These men testify against you. Now, as we read the story, we know that the Lord was being delivered to Pilate because of the envy of the religious leaders. And we know that when they got these false witnesses, they took the words that he said and misused them. They did not understand them, either that or they did not want to understand them, because the Lord was referring to the temple of his body that was going to be destroyed. Now, he says, too, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. So he did predict the destruction of the physical temple, but the new temple that he's talking about was his own resurrection. And because they didn't want to believe in him, they didn't believe in him, and so they misused his words to claim that he had made a false statement. Now, it's true that these people came forward with the intention of being false witnesses. And we have a lot of that today, don't we? People tell lies when the truth would do better. And so, whether it be in business or whether it be in politics, we don't know what to believe. And oftentimes, even the news will take a small section of what a person says out of context and make it appear that they've said something they never meant to say. And so, that's what they were doing with the Lord. Why would people bear false witness against the Lord? Well, they bore false witness against the Lord because they themselves didn't love him. They didn't see their need of him. He didn't come as the kind of a ruler they were expecting. The Lord never bore arms, and he did not have an army, and he did not come from Jerusalem. And even though he came from the royal line of David, nevertheless, the people didn't understand that he came the first time to die, to give himself as a sacrifice for our sins, and he's coming the second time to reign. They didn't understand the prophecies of Psalm 22, where it says, "They pierced my hands and my feet." They didn't understand the prophecy of Isaiah 53, where we find out that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. They didn't understand the Old Testament prophecy where the Lord, through David, could say, "Reproach hath broken mine heart. I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, and there was none, and for comforters, but found none." And they had misused what the Lord had said because they wanted to be relieved of the rule of the Romans, but they themselves wanted to be the ones who were going to rule when the Romans were overthrown. And so they had their own agenda, and instead of serving the Lord, they served their own agenda. But these false witnesses that rose up, they could not agree. They could not testify as they in unison about the things that the Lord had done, because the Lord had done good. He had healed. He had opened the eyes of the blind. He had fed the multitudes. He had turned water to wine. They didn't deal with the truth, the prophecies, and the fulfillment of the prophecies that proved that the Lord was who he claimed to be. And so, out of hatred for the Lord, and because of their desire to be in charge and to be bullies, the Lord ended up being crucified. Of course, it was in the plan of God so that you and I might be saved. And so, it is true he would be falsely accused, but in the false accusations, it's true that the Lord was able to fulfill prophecy and was able to die for you and for me, that we might be saved. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today. We thank thee for thy love, for thy salvation. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com. bdcministries.com. And we do thank you for listening.